This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you, and welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's a Thursday. The frog is gone, I believe, at this point. The last couple days at 5 a.m., I've awakened with something in my throat that I can't shake. Hopefully that's not serious, because Carl Middleman's wife is threatening to take me out if I get him sick. So, you all right, Carl? You feeling good?
There's a lot of snot and phlegm in this room.
Just saying. Kim and I both are on the verge. I'm afraid of something here. But, Kim, how you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I probably sound a little congested.
We'll get you some nasal spray. We'll get you straight right up.
You know, we've talked about nasal spray before, and I know people will probably recommend that. I was so desperate last night. My poor husband's just listening to me coughing and, you know, blowing my nose, and I can't breathe out of my nose. I'm trying to sleep. And he's like, just use nasal spray. And so he gets me some nasal spray, and it works temporarily, but hours later, you know, I'm up and I can't breathe. And then they call it rebound congestion, where if you use it enough, it actually makes it worse. And it's so easy to become addicted to that stuff, because you have, it's such a relief when you can actually breathe through your nose. And so
both
you want to keep, you want to keep using it, and it's just a vicious cycle. So I used it once, and I'm hoping to not, and I'm just praying that the congestion goes away quickly.
I would agree. When I first discovered it 30 years ago, I did get addicted to it, and it took a while to wean myself back off of it, to be honest with you. Only rarely would I use that stuff, I got to be honest. But there's definitely something going around there for sure. All right, we got lots to get to for you this hour. We're going to talk to Scott Warman, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, 6:35. I told you the other day, Carl, I was listening to our friend Frank Cusimano.
Yes.
And I heard him say something about the fact that Bennington, the goalie for the Blues, is at the height of his popularity after the big win with the Four Nations trophy, and he's very popular in Canada, and he's sort of high profile right now as a result of that. He's had a couple of great games since he's come back with the Blues, and that if the Blues were going to look to make a trade of some sort, he might be a primary target for that, and you guys were both surprised by that. So I'm anxious to see what Scott Warman thinks about that. If he agrees with that take or not, would the Blues actually do that? I don't know. It's a good question. But we'll get to Scott at the bottom of the hour and see what we can get out of him on all of that. Next hour, we're going to talk to Jess Christensen. She is the head of crop science and sustainability communications over at Bayer. And we've talked a lot the last couple of days about this bill that's working its way through the legislature that Adam Schnelting said would provide, if not blanket immunity, some level of immunity to Bayer and other companies that make glyphosate, which you might better know as Roundup, the weed killer that is used pretty regularly in major agricultural applications, not just on the dandelions in your front yard. And whether or not there's liability there or not, what the risk is, the people who are opposed to it think there is a risk. The people at Bayer argue that studies show there is not. So we're going to let somebody from Bayer come on this morning and talk more about this and why they think this legislation is necessary because it's not just Missouri. There are a number of states across the country where the same effort is being made legislatively to try to provide some level of immunity against what they seem to portray, not portray, but they seem to believe are an unusual number of lawsuits that are not grounded in science. So we'll talk to our friends from Bayer coming up at about 7:35 this morning. Shannon Bream, Dr. Naomi Wolf on her new book, The Pfizer Papers. That's at about 8:08. So I got lots of great stuff to get to for you here in this hour. Let's start off, though, with our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Doing a complete review of every single aspect of what happened with the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan, and plan to have full accountability.
Yeah, that's true. They are conducting an investigation of that. Why wasn't it done before? Why did heads not roll? Not a single person got fired, that I, from my understanding of it, when 13 U.S. service members were killed in Afghanistan and then that horrible, horribly planned withdrawal. It sounds like there's going to be some accountability now. And Pete Hegseth sort of promised that in yesterday's cabinet meeting.
This is the deep state at work, and we have got to figure out who is illegally leaking this information, and they need to be fired. And if possible, they need to be prosecuted.
Yep. Josh Hawley, I love that. He wants to know who's been leaking from within ICE. Christy Noem says leaks are unacceptable, and she's going to be looking into it as well. And she's got the backing of Senator Hawley for sure.
The post that I made last week showing that there are biological males participating in girls' sports and taking their place here in Maine.
That is a Maine state representative named Laurel Libby. And Laurel Libby has been censured. She is now not allowed to speak on the floor of the House in the state of Maine where she was duly elected until she apologizes for naming a transgender athlete whose name is in every newspaper in America.
Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
Yeah, there you have it. Wow. Gene Hackman, dead this morning at the age of 95. If you're just waking up or if you missed the headlines here at the top of the hour, they found he and his wife, who was some 30 years younger than him, apparently a musician, I understand, and their dog dead in their home somewhere in New Mexico. Hackman's been out of the public eye for a long time. But he is 95, so you're allowed to retire at some point, right? I remember. I don't know what his last film was. Carl Middleman might know.
The last thing I remember him in was Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, I do remember that. That's been a few years. He's one of my all time favorite actors. I just have to say, I don't know where Gene Hackman stood on politics, I'm happy to say. I don't think I ever heard him say anything about it, to be honest with you. Interesting, couple interesting facts about him. When he was a struggling actor in New York, he roomed with Robert Duvall and Dustin Hoffman. The three of the biggest actors in Hollywood 70s. In the 70s were roommates somewhere in New York City while they were struggling to be recognized.
And Duvall is 94 and still alive.
Still acting. I saw a trailer the other day for a movie I want to watch where he's apparently like he's a coach of some sort. I saw the trailer for it. It said it was an Angel Studios film. And the amazing thing is he never looks any older to me. I don't know why.
He's always
how they
looked
do that.
Old.
Well, he's always kind of looked old, right?
Even as Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird, he looked old.
Yeah. So that's off the issue here. But Gene Hackman, like Hoosiers, stands out as one of my favorite movies.
Unforgiven, he's the bad guy.
He was the bad guy in Unforgiven, and he won his second Academy Award for Unforgiven. And he didn't want to do the film, and Clint Eastwood had to convince him to do that. And then he played the bad guy. And apparently he didn't want to do the film because he didn't want to glorify the violence in the Old West. And then he found out that Unforgiven was about not glorifying the violence, but talking about how the people involved in it, even in some cases, were not happy about it. So,
Bill Mumy's from Missouri.
What?
Killer of Women and Children. That is Clint Eastwood's character.
Oh, okay, okay. You threw me off there for a minute. But apparently, Hackman was raised in Illinois.
Wow.
Danville or somewhere like that, where he moved at some point and spent a lot of his early life in Illinois before he ended up making it big in Hollywood. But very sad. They don't know the circumstances. They don't suspect foul play from what we've heard. Makes you think maybe carbon monoxide poisoning because the dog was dead too.
Yeah, that's my thought.
But I'm sure more details will come out through the course of the day on that one. Very sad. All right, coming up, I mentioned we're going to get to Scott Warman here at the bottom of the hour from a FanDuel Sports Network and talk to him maybe a little bit about the Blues, certainly, about the Cardinals, about the upcoming basketball, college basketball tournaments, because every day there are upsets, and it's just so much parity in the SEC right now. It is frightening for all of us, let me tell you, particularly those who are fans of the Blue Bloods. Too much parity, in my opinion. We'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, boy, I had it out with one of the news outlets who shall go unnamed. But no, that is all fake news about the NGA. I will say this, if you were a federal worker, that very first tranche that went out from the administration, giving people the opportunity for the buyout, you could be paid through September if you didn't want to come back into work full time. Because remember, you know, one of my biggest frustrations was that only 6% of federal workforce was actually showing up in person for work.
Right.
Okay. And I'm looking at a bunch of empty federal buildings here that we ought to be selling to the Smithsonian. That's great property, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Ann Wagner, the congresswoman here in the second, it was on yesterday with Mark Reardon talking about the rumors. I mean, you don't have to go very far to find wide speculation about what's going on with these cuts to the federal government. But of course, here at home, the newspapers, the TV stations of all, they're all worried to death that there would be job losses here in St. Louis. Is part of their job to cover that story. But she says the speculation about massive cuts at the geospatial agency are not true. The people there, just like every other government employee, were offered the early buyouts if they wanted to take them. Maybe some did. There may be some reorganization or cutting of fat, but that's far different than gutting the new several hundred million dollar facility they built here in North St. Louis. Did I tell you I got to take a tour down there one time? When it was still down here behind Anheuser-Busch years ago, they were doing a bond drive, and I knew a guy that worked down there, and he asked me to come in and speak to the group, and I was still working at Channel 4 at the time, and he's like, hey, would you like to take a tour? I'm like, oh, I'd love to see what you do down here. I had no idea. He walked me into the lobby. I wasn't allowed past the lobby because you have to have a major security clearance to get anywhere in that building, and they take me into a room, and they sit me down, and they turn on a projector, and it shows a picture, a pretty wide shot of the Earth, and then a little bit tighter shot of the Earth, and then a tighter shot of what appears to be a coastline, and then it zooms in a little bit more, and it zooms in a little bit more. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at a human being standing on a dock somewhere in the world. I have no idea where it is, and they're like, now, we're not saying this is what we do here, but hypothetically, these are the kinds of shots we can provide for intelligence services and things like that. I mean, it's just freaking amazing what the technology is these days. We, you know, it's one of those, we can neither confirm nor deny that this is what we do, but yeah, hypothetically, these are the kinds of things we can do.
Kind of scary, but that technology is very needed.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
For security reasons. But as much as I support these cuts, and I do, I think they're necessary, I really do hope that the heads of these departments are given an opportunity to look at each employee. And maybe this is the issue, is it's too time consuming, but not just like a blanket, hey, this whole department's laid off. I think that it needs to be like a case by case situation, because there are some people who are not showing up to work. They're not doing their job. They're quite frankly lazy. They need to go.
Yes.
But there are other people who you know, they do really show up and they do the work of maybe five people. And I just know more and more people who are being impacted by this. So, and I've told them, I'm like, look, I support the cuts. And they do too. They just, and I agree, that needs to be more specified, more specific, not just like, okay, here's 50 people, you're all gone.
You could never, you could never run your home checkbook the way the government runs its home checkbook. You could never run the budget for any business the way the government runs its business. Why do we allow the government to do things that you or I or business owners can't do? It's gotten bloated and it's never actually been cut, despite all of the words we've heard from people dating back to Bill Clinton and Al Gore all those years ago. They're going to trim government. They're going to cut the fat out of it. Remember when Bill Clinton said that years ago on the White House lawn, Al Gore was going to be in charge of it? None of that happened. Just like Al Gore saying there'd be no snow on the in the ice caps would all be gone by, and Florida would be underwater by 2020 or something like that. None of that ever happened. So here we go again. Now, while we're on the subject of the media and how they've covered this story, because that's why I led in here with Ann Wagner on this NGA story. How about Jake Tapper? Jake Tapper has a new book out. Have you heard the title of Jake Tapper's book, Kim? Jake Tapper has a new book out that he would like you to buy, and it's on the cover-up of Joe Biden's decline.
Huh.
He's written a book about the cover-up of Joe Biden's decline. I just want you to fortunately, we have recordings here, and this is just one little brief montage of Jake Tapper denying for years that there was anything wrong with Joe Biden. He was part of the problem, and now he's going to profit from a book talking about Biden's mental decline.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me that
try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all?
What if gives Jake Tapper the credibility to even write about that? Like, I would expect one of Joe Biden's former staffers. I think that person would have credibility, but Jake Tapper? Because of the name, he'll be able to sell books.
Right, but here's what you need to understand. A lot of the sound you just heard was from 2024.
Oh my gosh.
As late as last spring, when Joe Biden was still the candidate, he was on CNN every day in complete denial that there was anything wrong. And now he's issuing a book about the cover-up of Joe Biden's decline. You can't fix stupid. If you're dumb enough to pay a dime for that book, you deserve everything you get in life, as far as I'm concerned. All right, coming up, we'll get to Scotty Warman and talk a little bit about the Blues. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. We had some little board malfunction there, so
it's my fault.
Normally, Carl would bring you back in with some great bump music. I don't know if we're going to get the blues organist. What we're going to get there, Carl?
See, you know what? That's what I was trying to get.
I thought so, and I don't know why you weren't able to pull that off,
because it's labeled incorrectly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Much better.
Very nice. All right. Got our friend Scott Warman back with us from FanDuel Sports this morning. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Wow. The buttons and levers aren't working this morning over there at 97.1. Huh?
I'm telling you, man. Sometimes it takes the brain a little while to get moving.
Or is it operator air?
A little of both.
I texted Scott last night. I'm like, listen, Ackerman is blowing us off this morning because he's traveling. How early do you get up? And he goes, well, I might be up by then. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. As I told you, I'm traveling for some basketball for over the weekend, so glad to join you.
Yeah, where are you going? What are you covering?
I've done Missouri Valley basketball for like 20 years, so I'm heading down to Murray State for a game tonight, and then from there go to Nashville. I got a game on Saturday in Nashville before I head back to St. Louis.
Outstanding. You know, I was just lamenting to Carl there in the break that I really preferred it when the Blue Bloods dominated. We didn't have all this parity in college basketball, but wow.
I know, right? Well, you know what? It's a new era of college athletics. And I know just reading a lot of this stuff because there's a lot of chaos right now, especially with the NIL and transfer is most any half fan of college athletics knows. And the funny thing is the dominance of, if you go from a football standpoint, of Alabama football. I mean, yeah. You know, obviously with Nick Saban, one of the greatest college football coaches, whether you like him or not, he's an incredible coach. But the problem they have now in Alabama, really, I know the head football coach there, Kalen DeBoer, at one time, he was a coordinator at SIU Carbondale doing Missouri Valley football conference games years ago. But the problem is you don't have big-time money in Alabama compared to Michigan, Ohio State, and some of these other schools. And, oh, by the way, the support for our Missouri Tigers, I say our Missouri Tigers, is you have the Crockies, you have the Lorries, and you have the Walton families. That helps you out if you're trying to help along with some others that are feeding the system, because right now it's all about how much can you pay a player, a student athlete, quote unquote, right now. And I think we're at a crossroads where they've got to try to figure something out in college athletics, because it's really kind of spiraling out of control. But you're exactly right. I mean, look at what's happened to Kansas this year. I mean, Bill Self's team isn't even in the top 25 for the first time in who knows eons. It's absolutely nuts in college basketball.
It is crazy. I mean, there's the upside is, look at Mizzou. I mean, they've come out of nowhere, mm-hmm. mostly by filling in roles from the portal, right?
Absolutely, and that's what the big boys do. And that's, you know, being from the Valley and a mid-major, and, you know, just a lot of people remember some of the success stories. Obviously, the conference is located here in St. Louis. You had Wichita State about 10 years ago that made it to the Final Four. Loyola, who was a part of the Valley for a while, made it to the Final Four. You had Northern Iowa. Well, the one thing you had with those teams in the mid-majors is the fact that our teams in the Valley, well, they had experience. They had four-year guys where, you know, your Kentucky Wildcats or any other team that was really good, it was like 1 or 2 years, and they were headed to the NBA. Well, that's not the case now, because the players who would normally be at 4 years at a mid-major, well, they're getting better offers because the mid-majors can't afford what the big boys can afford. And so now the mid-majors are kind of trying to just pick up scraps to try to keep going. And one of the things I've noticed here in college basketball over the last few years with the transfer portal and NIL, so we're seeing a lot of Division II players, Mark, that are kind of mm-hmm. coming up and having a lot of success. And Josh Schertz, who is the head coach now at SLU, when he was at Indiana State in the Valley, he brought some of his guys up from Lincoln Memorial, and they had incredible success, as everybody knows, especially with that Indiana State program last year that I think really kind of got snubbed last year when they decided to take Virginia instead of Indiana State in the March Madness. And they made a run all the way to the NIT title. Hence, Josh has got a great job now at St. Louis
University.
Boy,
it's the truth. We're talking to Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports. On the basketball thing, just one more thing. What do you think they could do to fix this, Scott? I've always thought, well, maybe you tell people if you go into the transfer portal and you transfer to a school and you commit, you got to stay there 2 years. And if you don't, then you're going to have to sit out a year. That may be one way to control. I don't want to limit the athletes too much, but you shouldn't have one player that's been in four different programs in 4 years.
Absolutely. And that's a problem that I've spoken to several coaches about. Is the problem is you might have an athlete that goes to four schools in 4 years and doesn't have a degree and maybe is out of their money. Well, now what do they do? Yeah. I mean, that's something that I don't think the NCAA really thought about. I don't know what they were thinking about when they decided to do this. And look, I'm all about the student athlete getting something, because all the money that's involved in college athletics, especially college football and college basketball, these kids definitely need to get something. I'm don't get me wrong on this, but what needs to happen is you need to have a cap, and there is conversation about having a certain cap in college athletics as a whole. But as far as what you're talking about, yes, they have to at least commit to 2 years. Unless their coach leaves the guy that you committed to, then I'm like, okay, or if there's another precarious situation. But to me, I've even talked to Valley coaches where they've said, look, I just like to have a guy for this freshman and sophomore year and mold him into the player and then go out and make all the money you want. That's fine by them. But
yes,
it's just unheard of now.
Yeah, I mean, how do you build a good team if everyone's just hopping around every year? That doesn't make sense to me. So I agree with that too. But Scott, I wanted to talk Blues here for a second because obviously they're coming off that great win, 7-2. But they've had a rough season, and now we're hearing rumors that Jordan Binnington could potentially be traded. Is there any credibility in your mind to that rumor?
I mean, personally, I haven't heard anything, but I think all bets are off. I can tell you this. The organization really felt at the start of the season that while they weren't one of the teams that were probably going to go to a Stanley Cup championship, that they really felt that they had the tools to at least make a playoff run. Now, granted, since this break, I think they played really well. I mean, they've got 5 of a possible 6 points. Maybe could have got that 6 point on Saturday against the Winnipeg Jets. But with all that being said, Kim, I think Doug Armstrong has kind of made his mind up that he's been disappointed. And it seems to me, and again, I don't want to talk out of place because I haven't actually had a one-on-one conversation about this particular thing involving what's going on the trade deadline. I would think that, you know, if he's disappointed, that doesn't look like they can make the playoffs, that he wants to change maybe the nucleus. Honestly, all bets are off. I have not heard anything. There's obviously rumors, especially when you lead into the trade deadline, and especially if you can get something. I mean, there's rumors out there, as I'm sure everybody knows, Carl knows, I know for sure, is the fact that, you know, talking about Braden Schimm, he's one of the great guys you'd ever meet and is a great captain. But I'm sure if somebody goes, hey, you know, Army, we give you all this for a Braden Schimm or a Jordan Binnington, he's obviously going to listen to try to better his team, because I think there has been some disappointment in what has transpired without the consistency of winning with this hockey team this year.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'd heard Cusumano mention that to Reardon earlier this week, and it kind of surprised me on Binnington. So, and not like you, he didn't say he knew anything. He just said the guy's high profile. He's coming off that great Four Nations tournament. Mm-hmm. This would be a great time if they were going to do something like that. He obviously would be a target potentially.
But he seemed, I mean, Binnington seems like the key player right now for the Blues. So it would seem crazy to me that of all people, they'd want to trade him.
Right. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Jordan Binnington last year, I know players have said this privately, they wouldn't have been anywhere near where they had been even last year. Mm-hmm. And what baffles me is the criticism that this guy takes time and time again, especially from the Canadian media, even before what transpired with Team Canada. That was the thing is, you know, we're all Americans. We want the U.S. to win. But what eased it for me, and I even said this on the air on our pregame show on Saturday on Channel 4, is the fact that to see Jordan Binnington shut his critics up, especially in Canada, ease the pain of the U.S. losing. If we're going to lose, let's lose to Jordan Binnington and Colt Parayko and Team Canada. And it stands for, honestly, with what he's done. And they don't watch the games. The Blues defense a couple of years ago was really struggling. And they're like, oh, well, look at the numbers. Well, there's more than numbers. If you watch the game, the guy saved the Blues hide I don't know how many times a couple of years ago because he was not really getting much help in front of him. And so, Kim, I agree with you. Jordan Binnington is kind of is the nucleus of this team, whether they succeed or not. But again, if there's a massive offer, obviously Doug Armstrong has got to listen.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting 2 weeks to see, because if this team, they're playing Washington tonight in our nation's capital, and if they come away with a victory, first of all, it'll be the first time this year that they've won 3 games in a row, and if they play the way they played the last 3 games, I'm really curious to be in the mind of Doug Armstrong and go, well, wait a minute. Now we're starting to inch closer. Maybe we're playing the best hockey, because the only way they're going to make the playoffs, we said this after the break of the Four Nations tournament, they have to get on a run. Well, right now, so far, so good. It's only 3 games, I know. But if they play good tonight and they got L.A. back at home on Saturday, then things could get really interesting for this hockey team.
Sounds good. Scott, listen, thanks for giving us a minute, and safe travels.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you.
Talk to you soon. Scott Warman there from FanDuel Sports, and good to get his input on that.
I get if there's a lot of money at stake, I can see why he would need to potentially entertain that. But I just can't. I don't know. I'm not even pretending to be some massive Blues fan. But when I think of the Blues, Binnington is one of the people that I think of, and how crucial he was as goalie when the Stanley Cup. I mean, he's so critical to that team. And so it would just make me sad. I think it would make a lot of Blues fans, including people who are commenting on our socials this morning, it would make them sad to lose him.
I'm sure it would. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. All right. When we come back, we'll get to another news with Ethan. Next hour, we'll talk to former Senator Jim Talent and Jess Christensen from the Bayer Corporation on this Roundup bill that's making its way through the Missouri legislature. We'll be back.
There's a tradition in tournament play, not talk about the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. I'm sure going to the state finals is beyond your wildest dreams, so let's just keep it right there. Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
How can you not get pumped up by that?
Still sends chills down my spine. Mm. Just like in the movie Miracle, the same speech or a similar speech, right?
Yep. We've been reporting on this all morning. Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, they were found dead in their New Mexico home along with their dog. Authorities reported no signs of foul play. Hackman, the two-time Academy Award winner known for The French Connection and Unforgiven, had a prolific career spanning over 80 films, and I literally could probably use the next 5 minutes just listing off the great films he was in.
Yeah.
And just amazing.
Won 2 Academy Awards, right? The last one for Unforgiven.
Correct. And you were asking what his last movie was. It was Welcome to Mooseport.
Oh, wow.
So I knew Carl would know that.
Was it Ray Romano?
Was it with Ray Romano?
I think
so. I don't know.
Yeah. But, okay. Mooseport. Let's just say it was Royal Tenenbaums.
I'll say it wasn't probably a great movie.
Well,
but
I mean, he was in so many serious films, but he was also a great comedic actor in a lot. I mean, I love the role he played in Superman.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor. Yeah. It was awesome.
Everything was great.
Yeah.
Like it was. We have another actress that passed away, Michelle Trachtenberg. Did I say it right?
Trachtenberg, wasn't it?
Trachtenberg?
Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg?
There's an R there.
We got it somewhere in there. She was known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Gossip Girl. She passed away at 39. She was found unresponsive in her New York City apartment with no sounds of foul play, although reports suggest she had recently undergone a liver transplant. And complications may have been a factor.
So she was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She came in at the end of either season 4 or season 5 as Buffy's little sister. But for the first 4 seasons, Buffy did not have a little sister.
Oh.
So magic, you know, it's about vampires.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
The unknown sister.
I watched her on Harriet the Spy. She's more my generation. And it's just so sad. Like every time I hear about another death, I just think about... I know the saying, life is a gift, it can be really cliche, but this is a reminder. Like, our time here on Earth is such a little blip in the larger scheme of things.
They think she had liver complications.
She had a
transplant.
A transplant. Mm-hmm.
And so all these pictures of her on social media, she looks like she's been ill.
Oh.
And people are like, yeah, shit, what happened to her? Well, now we know she had liver issues.
Right.
And so, but as Kim and Ethan said, they still think of her as a little child, and she was almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
The Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery streaming bundle is proving to be a major success, with 80% of its 1.6 million subscribers from July to December still subscribed 3 months later. It's outperforming Disney's own bundle, Max, and even Netflix. Research firm Antenna calls it a game changer and a wake-up call for the industry, as cross-company bundles could become a key strategy. So,
how much is it? Does it say?
It didn't say. It's about the same as usually what it was.
And what does it include?
It's
Disney Plus.
The Disney Plus
and
stuff.
Max.
And then you get Max with it. So it's Disney Plus and then ESPN Plus and then
and Hulu.
Hulu, okay. And Max.
The thing is, though, we don't know how long these partnerships will last. So let's just say that you get Disney specifically because you want the other ones. And you watch a couple of shows on Disney or movies or whatever. And then 2 years later, that partnership dissolves. It's just around and around we go. This won't ever end.
It just seems like we're going back to cable.
Like trying to figure out where the next episode of, Yellowstone or 1923 might air. I mean, they change it every season. The new one comes out. You have to have some different access to some different channel to watch it. It's smart on their part. But it cost us all money.
Once again, the public service announcement, JustWatch.com. JustWatch.com tells you where you can find what show you're looking for.
Nice.
Just
do you own that domain?
No. Oh, okay. But if you sign in and you have an account with it, you can plug in the things that you have, and it'll tell you if you get it or not.
Oh, nice. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Go to justcarl.com.
Justwatch.com.
Just text Carl. His number is, I'm kidding.
I'll tell you. For a small fee.
It looks like Starbucks is cutting several of its less popular beverages starting March 4th as part of a 30% menu reduction aimed to improving efficiency and boosting sales. Drinks being removed include various Frappuccinos, white hot chocolate, and the Royal English Breakfast Latte. So if you you're out of luck.
I don't speak Starbucks. Like if I have to go there and I've picked up a drink for my daughter, I've had to have somebody text me specifically all the words I need to say to get them whatever the hell it is they want.
Some people are really intense with their orders.
Yes,
shaken,
they are.
Two cubes of ice.
Yep.
Three pumps of this.
No, thank you.
I'm all right. I'm good. All right. Coming up, former Senator Jim Talent, and we're going to talk to the folks over at Bayer on this Roundup bill in the legislature.
Get more at 971talk.com.